shouldn't dissociate ourselves from Hugh with this press conference.
We're not going to.
Well, I thought it's just a little bit.
We're going to have to say that both sides are lying.
That's right, but I'm knowing much more.
What's the matter? Is it his
sickness
again, or what?
His sickness. Well, he says this means Congress will cut off all funds, because he doesn't know your strategy that this enables you then, on January 2nd, or whenever you want.
Don't tell him.
Isn't it best
not to tell him just as little as possible?
That's right. No, I must say, after I talked with him yesterday, I could understand your hesitation about sending him anywhere.
You can see my point.
Oh. Because he is an unguided missile. He sits there. He's devious, too. Because he told me he was all for it, all out.
That's what I thought.
All out for it. Next thing I know, he's asking to see you. And,
maybe you've already related directed to the president.
We haven't talked to him. Yes, yes.
Concern about the Congress.
Yes.
The other concern, and I think that's real, you know, Matthias and
the Congress, in any event, is going to be a concern. And that asshole Percy's talking about cutting off aid and anything they can do really to torpedo the whole thing. Isn't that what it is?
Well, as I see it, the Matthias Stevenson thing. They're working together on a restoration of congressional prerogatives. They say the executive has usurped their power and gone beyond the constitutional intent.
So what will they try to do then?
I think what they may do is, if we hammer both sides, in other words, a pox on the North Vietnamese, a pox on Thieu and his attitudes, they will use this as a vehicle to say, well, what the hell are we doing there? McGovern was right, what's his name, Harriman's right, let's get out, and there's no real need to stay. It was a mistake originally, and cut the funds off. That's what I feel they may do.
Yeah.
The other point that I think is a real concern, as somewhat of a student of what happened in the past there, particularly in the Diem time, I think that if it gets out that Thieu is verbally laced, I think there's a good chance that somebody over there might try to.
That's why I think it's got to be handled. Let me ask this. What's your feeling? I wrote him a long letter, just exactly along those lines. Meetings and possibly an election to determine who governs.
And upset by human
demand. And two,
Are you telling me, Mr. President, that we could not have sold that?
No, son of sold it. No. I sat and talked to Doug, his principal advisor here. I went over this point by point myself. I said, all this. She says, no. And then I went on to say, I said, do you realize? And he said, but the North Vietnamese will still be there. I said, well, what do you want us to do then? And so he said, well, President Chu realizes you fought long enough. Make a separate deal with the North Vietnamese, get your prisoners, and then continue to support us economically and militarily, and we'll continue to fight the war till we drive the enemy out. I said, that'd be all ducky. I said, but do you know how much chance, how long the Congress would wait before they throw us out on that? See, we can't get that from the North Vietnamese. See, the North Vietnamese will not give us the prisoners unless we give them the political settlement. So we're giving them a political settlement in this, which means nothing. It keeps you in power. It provides for elections between you and me that will never take place. Can I address that? And the North Vietnamese will wither away, but in addition, there's something else. We're dealing with the Russians. We're dealing with the Chinese. This is in the background. And we see you bringing this morning, frankly, in my version. I thought you'd bring it on the phone while I was gone. Christ. The Russians want to get this goddamn thing over for other reasons, because the Chinese want to get it over because they have other fish to fry with us. But neither of them can get caught not helping the North Vietnamese as long as it goes on. The moment you get this, we can pull the string on that side. And then it means that South Vietnam's really has it made. It'll be like South Korea. South Korea now has the second that the strongest, biggest army in Asia. South Vietnam has the strongest army in Asia. Here they said the strongest army in Asia. We just put in $1 billion more of stuff. We've given them this kind of agreement, and Chu will not accept it because he says no, because the agreement provides for he says that it implicitly provides, because it does not say that all North Vietnamese must leave, a lack of sovereignty of his government over South Vietnam. But his government stays in. We are going to issue a statement at the time of the settlement that we recognize only his government, as far as that's concerned. We are going, of course, to continue to provide aid for only his government, on the military side. And here's the opportunity. But that is the agreement, which, of course, has been blown. That's the reason.
Why won't the North leave that agreement open for us?
It is. They'll take that today.
Well, why can't we go somewhere?
They'll take that today because Hughes has a stumbling block. This is the reason why, we were improving that agreement, so, frankly. We've gotten 12 recruits. Henry thought that when he went on Monday and Tuesday of last week, we'd get two more. And I had the idea. I said, all right, have the vice president go out with the new agreement. And so here it is now. And then you tell him, speaking for, you can say, oh, look, I know the Congress, Mr. Rice and Mr. President, you may not like this provision or that provision. You may disagree with this or that. But if you don't take this, it's going to become known that this agreement, which the President believes is the best we can get, which the Congress overwhelmingly will believe, which the country will believe, if you don't take this, the Congress is going to cut off aid, much as we would want to help.
The trouble is now, we could have lived perfectly well with the October agreement.
See, but he won't take it today. But that, they'll go back to October 8th, right today.
Yeah, but if we go back to October 8th now, it would be such a shattering defeat for him and that all the fuss he made that I don't think he could survive that.
See, he said he's already crossed the bridge and he wouldn't take October 8th.
So we need some cosmetic.
So we're trying to get some cosmetic. And we got some already. We can improve on October 8th.
I thought we had the National Council of Reconciliation and Concord clarified in language. That's a hell of a big concern.
But the trouble with the past, if you forgive me, is we break in every evening in Paris or whatever.
You won't believe this.
Every time we gave him something, he put it out on radio side down.
Yeah.
It's something that really licked Hanoi.
Then
Hanoi withdrew everything.
But,
so we went, this we haven't said to anyone else.
Let me say this. We can get an approved agreement over October 8th. Let me say first, October 8th is good enough. Because let's be quite candid about it. goddamn communists, the Russians, busted it. They didn't give the Poles the free elections. They didn't provide for what they were supposed to in Czechoslovakia. Now, any agreement we make with these sons of bitches will be worth only the will of the people to keep it and what we can have in the way of tripwires to smack them again. Now, this agreement that we've developed, I believe, has got so many landmines in it where if they start infiltration again, if they don't fizz out the supervisory group, or you know what I mean, where we can say they have broken the agreement, we're going to start bombing them again. Now that is what's going to make them come along. Plus, of course, the stroke we have with the Russians, the strokes we have with the Chinese, and the stroke we'll have with North Vietnam, because at that point, presumably, we will be giving them some economic assistance that they desperately need. What you have here is a situation. It's a curious one. However, and this is the real point by the son of a bitch, Sir Percy and Matthias, your senator, whom I trust will have, without saying, I understand somebody's going to believe in the running against him in a primary.
We'll get somebody.
Well, get somebody. No. I won't keep John involved. I'm going to make him another Goodell. But look, here's the reason that sort of thing hurts. Put yourself in the position, Hanoi. They can say, here's Henry. It's 2 weeks before Christmas. It's 10 days before Christmas. It's 2 weeks before the Congress comes in. And so he says this, so they can say, what the hell? We'll get them alone. We'll wait. We're not bombing very much. Not as much as we were. Maybe bombing a lot more next week for this very reason. So you see, they say, it doesn't make any difference. Why do we make an agreement now? Because the Congress will be, it will be so mad because there is no agreement that the Congress will proceed to cut off all aid. You see, there is a danger. There is a critical danger. And so if they figure they are going to give it to Congress, they aren't going to give it to us. That's the thing. That's the reason we got to act this week. And isn't that really the truth of war? And if, for example, I was delighted to see the berries, on the other side. But that Barry also took that view of the risk of it by saying, in effect, well, look, they don't want to go on for the liberty to do it. Because we've got what he's trying to do really is to build a backfire, as I see it, against the damn Doves. See, the Doves want to lose the war. They really do. You agree?
Yeah.
They don't give a damn.
They have a vested interest in it.
So what we need now at this time, we have got to convince the country, and it's got to be tough as hell. You've got to convince the country, and Henry was living across this morning, first, that it was that the Russians, the communists, were duplicitous. He's got to put in a line to the effect. He's got to take account of the fact. Yes, it is true that the South Vietnamese had some disagreements with the text, which we have tried to improve. We've got to make sure that's all.
I think it's in Hugh's interest that he is not made
the guy
who stopped the agreement.
I think it is our interest. That it's not to his, that he is agreement, right?
What I think it is to our interest is to say roughly what you said, minus that we are sure they'd accept it.
Yeah.
But we should say, yes, there were some disagreements with the South Vietnamese, but that is a moot question.
That's right.
Because...
That's what he's going to say, a moot question.
Because we never reached that issue.
We have never reached the issue. And we don't know whether they accept it. But the other point is that we, above everything else, have got to get the goddamn Congress to stand firm.
That's not going to be easy, Mr. President.
Well, it won't be easy in the present context, but it will be if we get the POW thing up front and center. And let that be the only issue. That might happen too one day. Do you think, let me put one question to you, move the moment. Suppose we offer today. We say, all right, there is no political summit. In return for all of our POWs and accounting for our MIAs, we will stop the bombing, stop the mining, and withdraw all of our Americans within 60 days.
Then the question will come up, how about economic and military assistance?
All right, on that point, don't you think the majority of the Americans stay with us on the first point?
to me, based on what you told me, Henry, that the only way we're going to get negotiating in good faith is if the North Vietnamese think we're fully ready to resume kicking the hell out of them and do it.
That's right.
Now the question is, how do you keep things quiet here while you're doing it?
Yeah, but the point is, don't you have to kick them some before they know that?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
When they start kicking them, what are
that's why it seems to me that if a consultation with Chu now, if Haig goes, unless he reveals
what he's saying,
I think what he really ought to say is that
we are terribly conciliatory.
I think we ought to say it publicly, that we're there because the reasons we went in there to help the Chu government are just as valid today as the day we went in there.
The problem is, there is one problem. The moment we start kicking them again, here's what Chu wants. Chu is afraid, Abrams believes, Chu is afraid to go along. And I think what happens is that Chu doesn't want us. He just thinks that because we've done it always before that we'll be able to carry it again. He doesn't realize that there comes a time when the American people are tired of the goddamn war and they want over. And that's what it is. Right.
But if the North would let us get to the point where it wasn't moved, then I could see how you could operate in.
Where would my call?
In other words, if they said, yes, the situation is open to settlement with some cosmetic changes that will allow us to say to Chu now, look, we've gone back and
that's what we had last week. Frankly, we had it three times. Presented to Chu, he said no. Three times. And believe me, they were good cosmetic settlements. They took out the word.
And I thought what I was supposed to do was to go say, now, damn it, here they are. This is the last time we're going to present them to you.
What's that?
Wasn't that what I was supposed to do?
Yeah.
Here they are. This is
right.
The last time with a high visibility.
That's right. You were. You see, we didn't want to launch you.
Yeah.
But we can't do it. We didn't want to launch you until we had the North and the dotted line. And they don't sign the dotted line.
That's what I'm
saying. Because, you see,
if we had them on the dotted line, we should probably have gone ahead with that.
We planned to.
Yeah.
That's right. Where we were having you would have gone next week. We expected to have the North and the dotted line. And then I'll be damned if you didn't put out that. These are small things, it seems. And he put out a statement Monday night. Well,
the big issue is the recognition of the demilitarized zone.
Yeah.
They had already accepted it 2 weeks ago. You put it out, so they withdrew.
Well, but now we're looking at a situation where we don't have them on the dotted line, so we can't look at it in the same frame.
You know what I thought the situation is? Let me try this. It doesn't make any difference whether we recognize the demilitarized zone or not. It doesn't make any piece of paper. It doesn't make any difference whether this is called a national government of Concord or a national committee of Concord or reconciliation or not. It depends upon what happens. And I said, if they come across that demilitarized zone, we're going to bomb the hell out of them. I said, that I give you a promise to. That's straight with the trigger. And in the event that they try to treat this situation as a government rather than simply a committee to set up an election, Chu is looking to it. So tell me, what is wrong with that?
Why is it, Mr. President, to the North's benefit to give us the agreement, despite what Chu's saying about it?
We're clearly placed
in a position where we have to act, and we don't
why
won't they do that?
Why don't they do the agreement?
For their own benefit.
Congress coming in the third. They think they're going to get it for nothing. They think they might have long last grasped victory from the Charles. They're hurt. Why are they talking? Because the bombing and the mining has brought them to their knees. This thing is over. That really is militarily. They would need to be talking. They're hurt and bad. But right now, you see, they see the deadline of the Congress coming back. And these assholes like Stevenson and Mathias are saying, Congress will cut off aid.
7th that they couldn't change and that we couldn't change. Now they feel if they diddle us along week after week, they can always settle. If things get too tough, they've very cleverly maneuvered it into a position where by sending one message they can settle it.
Sure.
But they never send a goddamn message.
Sure.
So if we crack, they get the whole ball of wax. If we don't crack,
they still have
the option of settling.
And let me tell you, there's still a chance for settlement. There's still a chance for settlement. The Russians are pressuring the Chinese made. The main point is, while the pressure most is the fact that the military situation remains bad, critical.
If they are going
to be much more critical next week, we've got to. And when the Congress comes back, we have to have it out. We'll have it out.
They are the tawdry sponge.
Yeah.
You know, we've dealt with.
And incidentally, we may have to use you. But I told Henry, I said, I'm not going to send the butt box by the president out there and have him rebuffed by this son of a bitch. I mean, either one. I mean, when I say choose the son of a bitch, I say it more in sorrow than in anger. Because the enemy's cutting his own throat. He doesn't realize. If you put a plebiscite up in this country, should we support it? We hold this. What it is? 12%. 12%. On the other hand, if you put a plebiscite up in the country, do you favor the imposition of a communist government on South Vietnam by a coalition government? It's 52-30 against it. You see, Hugh has now confused himself with the real issue. And he's got to watch out. The American people don't know that he is synonymous with the other communist government. There isn't anybody else.
He doesn't understand. I've tried to tell him to his ambassador.
I've told God. You heard the 2 hours of a lecture such as nobody has ever had in this office.
If the American people felt that what came out of there is something they can be proud of, they defend it. They don't give a good goddamn, but it's called council, administration, committee.
And we'll pay.
And all this baloney of these phrases that excite the Vietnamese so much would make any difference.
No doubt about that. Yeah. But what I'm looking at, or trying to look at, and I agree 100% with your analysis, person.
Yeah.
I think you've been right on key. What it appears to be, what happens in the event that the American people and the Congress get the idea that we are publicly wavering on two. To me, that is...
Well, no, they won't get the idea we're wavering on two. No, don't worry about that. Never.
That would cut off.
We're going to put that
in a possible...
No, I meant on the memorandum that I dictated that I put this thing in. Don't worry about that.
To my office and
I want to go over this one piece thing with you.
I'll get out of here.
This is what this is. Go on 11:30. Yes.
But I hope that I need about half an hour to go over something.
Yeah, well, I'll get this. Let me extend this time to you before you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, anyway, you understand, we're not going to. We're trotting the rudder. We're not going to throw all on you. That'd be the easiest thing to do. And we can't cut off on him. A separate peace is impossible. We all know that he's the one that's talking about separate peace. But the part that we have to do is that we have to lay a foundation for what we have to do next week. And that is we've got to give them a kick in the ass. And everybody's got to stand firm for a week over Christmas. Despite all of our talk about peace.
We still got that fun cut off looking at us. Regardless of what we do.
Yeah, I agree. You mean fun cut off that the Congress can still act upon?
Yeah.
Takes a little time. Will you throw it?
Are you going to have Henry brief any of the selected?
Today?
Or any time before they convene?
No. No, not now. What we're going to do today is going to brief the press on the status of the negotiations. We don't want to escalate this to that point. The Congress is spread all over. here's, I just reach as you get the feel, because I haven't had a chance to do it. There's some further references to your briefing today. Have in mind the need to strengthen portions which might be interpreted as meaning that we are willing to go along the present pace of negotiations without taking some action to stop the ominous enemy buildup, an action which will bring the negotiations, might bring the negotiations to a conclusion. Although I would not say that. My point is that we have, that's what you really have to get into. You've got to prepare. You mustn't have something come out of here, so they say, isn't you said, well, we're continuing to be paid and so on, and then bomb that. Although, we'll see. I was good. There was a story this morning that we bombed the hell out of them yesterday. That's good. Now, since October 8th, and since your, thinking about what you were saying, since I had my briefing here where I talked about the piece of head, we have been patient trying to work out technical details so that there would be no misunderstandings. The clarifications and changes that we have insisted upon have had only one purpose. After a very long war, we don't want to end it with a setup which will bring only a short peace. I get in that line in that way. That's why we have been working on that. But now the remaining differences can be settled within a matter of a few hours by an exchange of messages between the two sides without even a further meeting. Provided there is a serious intent on both sides to negotiate a real and lasting peace, rather than try to gain some advantage which will enable one side or the other to renew the war. We have been talking with the enemy for over 4 years. I put that in. During that 4 years, 5,000 Americans and thousands of North Vietnamese and South Vietnamese have lost their lives. The time has come now to bring the talking and the war. Time has come. If you reflect on it, you would have to say that for the past 30 days, the way the other side has gone up the hill and down the hill on various proposals would indicate a filibuster rather than a serious attempt to reach a settlement in the fighting. Hard language, you want to use it, you can. We want a rapid settlement for three basic reasons. Now, this must go ahead. First, from a humanitarian and personal standpoint, our POW. Some of them have been incarcerated for over 6 years. We want their release as soon as possible. Second, we want to stop the fighting because while our U.S. casualties, we want a ceasefire, because while our U.S. casualties are minimal, with several weeks in which there have been no killing actions, South Vietnamese and North Vietnamese are dying in battles of thousands every week. And third, we want a settlement now because we will not tolerate allowing peace talks to be used as a cover for a military buildup which could mean a step up of a war in the future. Both the North Vietnamese and the South Vietnamese must share some responsibility for the delay in reaching a settlement. Each side wants to gain advantages at the peace table it has not been able to gain in the battlefield. It is time to have the ceasefire and let the people of South Vietnam decide at the ballot by their votes what kind of government they want. It is time that we move this conflict from the battlefield to the ballot box. Consequently, we are going to step up our pressure on both sides for a faster settlement. And taking this course, we are doing it in the interest of both sides. Neither side can gain from continuing the war, from prolonging the war. Neither side can gain from prolonging the peace talks. We are ready to resume the talks to reach a rapid settlement whenever the enemy is ready to do so. In the meantime, Higgins suggests this is probably too tough. The President will continue to order whatever actions he considers necessary by ARC to prevent what now appears to be an ominous buildup in the North for the purpose of launching into offensive against the South. Just some thoughts. Very tough
language. Except for the last sentence, I think I could have about you most.
Yeah. I don't feel like you use the last he put in there, but I think we might as well just bomb him without notifying
him.
I think everybody's going to get the point. But whether we want to say each side bears some responsibility for the sale of settlement, I don't know.
Well, I think I've tilted more against Hanoi.
I've tilted more against Hanoi.
But I'll just give a very matter-of-fact briefing, no outrage. I'll just say this is what
happened. Neither side can gain from continuing the war. Neither side can gain from prolonging key peace talks. That's got to be clear. This is time to settle. But I don't know.
yesterday already. Well, you didn't say you wanted anything, and I told it immediately to Haldeman, and I would have told you first thing in the morning.
That's what you found anyway.
But that was your view anyway.
Don't we all know? I mean, he says, I'm afraid they're going to come out. That's Comanches, I'm afraid. I mean, it's like everybody else. I'm afraid the Congress is going to come out, cut off. They may. We may be faced with that. So what do we do then, Henry?
Be a disaster, but I don't...
I know it's a disaster, but what do we do?
Blame the Democrats.
That's right.
For getting us out of the war. Well, we could, there is a chance, Mr. President, it is not impossible that these filthy bastards are just playing us along. Gabrina told me that they told the Russians that they think you've got to settle before inauguration, and they're going to run it up closer to inauguration. So, it's possible that they'll give us a settlement before inauguration, even if without our doing anything. But it's a gamble which, if we lose, will really be perilous.
The decision we're making is not that you have a briefing today, which you must have. The decision that we're making is that your briefing is setting the stage for the action that we're going to take on Monday.
But you could have the briefing without the action. In the past,
what's on the positive side?
On the positive side, they could say, all right, now we've just got it simple. And the track record is a little bit more in that direction.
When we had the 30 beef and Jews, it did what happened. What
mean? Well, then they were ready to have a private talk. But when you did the mining and farming, they came back to the conference and said, we're a hell of a lot faster. On May 2nd, they absolutely stonewalled us. After the mining and bombing, it led to this breakthrough. But they may take it a few months. I cannot tell you that they may not go till March. I don't think they can take it if we keep it up. They are, if they weren't close to being on their knees, they wouldn't have.
The whole point is this, the main thing is to do the mining. We got to do the mining.
No question.
And we do the bombing so that we can continue to have something being done that we can then give or take away.
That's right.
We got to have some bombing at the present time. Just hitting rice paddies to the 20th parallel ain't enough.
It isn't enough.
You know that, right?
Not enough. Now, of course, they're going to put 127 B-52 stubble loaded over North Vietnam, and that's fantastic.
Good.
And that's going to, you know, break them or break us. That's not just farming. I mean, that's really obliterating them.
Obliterating what you get.
Yeah, but that's going to blow out every window in Hanoi.
How do you lay the foundation for that?
I beg your pardon?
How do you lay the foundation for that?
Oh, I'll just explain in a very matter-of-fact way what they've done.
And what does Zigger say?
Resume bombing. I wouldn't go into how many planes and let defense handle that. It's winter, so we're using B-52s rather than fighter planes.
Okay, this is bad weather. There was some build-up, simply reaction here that takes
delightful tease, but they'll just say, let's get it over with any way we can.